welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week, we're bringing you a special edition of the show from the White House Easter Egg Roll. Farmers are at the heart of the tradition, with over 40,000 real American-raised and hand-dyed Easter eggs on display at the event. President Donald Trump even said the day is all about eggs. Attendees had the opportunity to learn more about ag products in the American Egg Board's Hen to Home exhibit, taking visitors from soybeans as chicken feed to a freshly hatched baby chick. Many egg and soybean farmers were at the event speaking with visitors. In the International Fresh Produce Association's booth, attendees could take home fresh cut flowers, fruits, and vegetables. There was also a reading nook in the White House Rose Garden where guests could hear stories read by First Lady Melania Trump, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, and Small Business Administrator Kelly Loeffler, among others from the administration. I asked Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins to share a bit more about the tradition.
Well, it is a great day. It's like the Egg Super Bowl here at the White House, which is really, really exciting. Talk about agriculture, talk about feeding our country, talk about where the food comes from. I just walked out of the building, the White House behind us. We have about couple dozen of our egg farmers from all over America who are here for the Easter Egg Roll. Last Monday, I was in North Carolina at the Braswell Family Egg Farm, getting the 40,000 eggs that they donated to this event today and launching them on their way. Of course, the eggs arrived late last week here in Washington. It's a really great day. And not just the eggs, then we talk about the soybean farmers, the soy that feeds the chickens, that makes all these eggs, these beautiful, God's perfect food, nutrient for our American families.
Yeah, and we spoke here last year and egg prices were very high, and since then those have really come down. But I want to ask you also about, you mentioned recently that thinking about reopening the southern border to cattle imports from Mexico. Can you kind of lay out, we've had a lot of questions on that, you know, what that could look like and what timeline you're looking at?
Well,
that.
I will say, it's funny, I think I must have said something at some press conference somewhere that got everyone really interested. We have been looking at reopening the ports or keeping them closed every day since last July when we closed them. So there's really no new news. I guess if there is news, it would be that we have been able to, for the most part, successfully understand and contain since last July. Now, still moving up through Mexico, but keeping the New World screwworm more than 200 miles away from our southern border. Mexico has come alongside us. USDA has invested significant funds. We've deployed 80 or 100 of our own USDA team on the southern side of the border, funding the Mexican operation, obviously keep it far away down there. But also looking at the Douglas, Arizona port, that's about 800 miles away. So not a couple hundred, but 800 miles. So every day we're looking at what that looks like, the set of facts, the circumstances, the analysis. We have a whole team I talk to daily, but this has been going on for months. So we will be down in McAllen in about a week and a half for the groundbreaking of the big sterile fly facility, the billion-dollar facility that we're building to make sure we can eradicate this forever for our ranchers and our cattle producers. But for today, no new news, but we're moving toward and thinking about what this could look like. But again, we've been doing that for months now.
Yeah, and you know, the cattle sector is one of the few bright spots of the farm economy here in the U.S. right now, but row crop growers are really getting squeezed, especially by fertilizer costs right now. Mm-hmm. You know, you had teased last week that, you know, there's an announcement coming on fertilizer. And I'm curious, can you elaborate, you know, is that maybe spurring more domestic production or even, you know, a fertilizer bank here in the U.S.?
Well, we're looking at every potential tool that could go into the toolkit. What this 35-36 day conflict has really shown a light on is President Trump's vision that we've got to onshore, that what we used to be able to do ourselves a decade or decades ago has now, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's U.S. agriculture, has for whatever reason moved off. The focus of the president on energy independence has allowed us to really build up our LNG supplies here, but we don't yet have the infrastructure that we need to be able to provide our own fertilizer. Having said that, we're in much better shape than almost every other country in the world because we don't get fertilizer through the Strait of Hormuz. We get it from other places and some of it we do domestically produce. So understanding what we need to be doing every day we're analyzing, we are putting together a larger plan on what this could look like with some big announcements and that will be coming soon. It's a day-by-day analysis on what's happening over there. There's new news every day, but again, that's short-term. And understanding only about 20 to 25% of our farmers for right now haven't secured their fertilizer yet, working directly with the fertilizer companies for that smaller group for today. But the long-term importance of this conversation is to ensure that we never rely on other countries again for things that we can do ourselves here in America. And that's what we're focused on.
Yeah. And as we wrap up here, you were at the White House just a couple weeks ago, I guess just over a week ago, with President Trump, welcomed hundreds of farmers here.
Yeah.
And what some of his key points during that were, you know, urging year-round E15, and
correct,
then also said he'd support additional farm aid. So
that's,
I'm curious,
right,
on year-round E15, any updates on that front? And then, well, you know, additional farm aid, if he's clarified, you know, how much
what that looks like.
For.
So the importance of year-round E15 can't be understated. This president has been very focused on that. Of course, also announced the new RVO standards, 45Z. I mean, we are taking an all of the above approach to biofuels. And I think that domestic supply, coupled with the 18 new trade deals opening up the international markets, will change this trajectory we've been on in American agriculture to the positive versus the struggles that you mentioned and we're all very aware of in this farm economy. The president's very resolute about that, ensuring that we continue to support it. Of course, it's on Congress to get it passed. We've done everything we can from the executive branch. It's a congressional action now, but we keep hearing that it will happen, but this president will keep pushing that. And then on the farm aid, working with the Hill, they are putting their package together right now to support what they do moving forward and moving out.
We'll be back with more from the White House right after the break.
As a cooperative, our customers are our owners. They share our profits and help guide our business. We're not just another lender. We're Farm Credit, and we're here for you.
Think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you,
yes,
asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources.
This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. Andy Seeger is an Indiana egg farmer and chairman of the American Egg Board. I spoke with him on the White House lawn about the tradition of the White House Easter egg roll.
Yeah, what a day. So my name is Andy Seeger. I'm an egg farmer from southern Indiana. Our farms are in Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio, so in the Midwest. And I have the pleasure of currently serving as the chairman of the American Egg Board. So we've got over 100 egg farmers on the lawn here today. We're going to be using 35,000 to 40,000 real eggs. This year, for the first time, we have live chicks as well. So we're trying to give the kids a great experience. And I think the president said this morning, we may have upwards of 50,000 people on the lawn. So it's a beautiful day and it's a great time to promote eggs, which we all know is the perfect protein. But we're a little biased, but that's the way we feel.
The president just came out to the lawn. He said, you know, you might be able to take one of these real eggs home with you, but you know, what's the message of you as an egg farmer to see, you know, two attendees here that are, you know, getting to see and experience all these real eggs, and I hear maybe some egg snacks around, but what's the importance when you're speaking to
them? Well, we say this is our Super Bowl. You know, this is really, Easter is a holiday where we get to celebrate eggs and egg farmers, you know, and I think we're incredibly proud of what we do, producing healthy food, producing protein, and so this is a great day for us to promote our industry, you know, and to promote what we do, and what better way to do that than with these families, you know, who, to my understanding, participate in a lottery. Many work many years to get the experience to be here on the South Lawn of the White House. It doesn't get much better than this for our industry.
Yeah, and you have been in D.C. Quite a bit the last week. You're actually at USDA for an announcement with Secretary Rollins last week. Can you tell us a little bit more about that conversation?
Yeah, so our week really started this past Monday at Braswell Farm. So we had an event where the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, came and visited the farm, and he was able to tour her around. And then at that point in time, the eggs were hard cooked and dyed. They have the US 250 logo on a number of them. They were loaded onto a truck, and that truck's been on a road trip all week, seeing large sites, and then finally made its way here on Wednesday to the USDA office, where I was fortunate enough to participate in an event with Secretary Rollins, Secretary Kennedy, and Dr. Callie Means, where we're working to promote the health benefits of eggs and to try to get more eggs and egg products into school breakfasts and school lunches. They are incredibly supportive. And so that's a lot of fun. And what we've tried to do in the week leading up to this event, you know, is just talk about all of the benefits of eggs.
Yeah. And Andy, you know, a lot of these families have students in school. And so, you know, a big push to get more eggs in schools as well. Can you tell us a bit more about, you know, what's needed
well,
there?
Well, I thought what Dr. Means said made perfect sense to me. He said it just makes sense, you know. And as my wife and I, as parents of four children, you know, we always feel like when they eat a healthy breakfast, you know, when they make eggs or so on and so forth, they're full, they don't snack as much, you know, they get energy, an energy boost. What better way to start with a protein like eggs than with school children, you know, and have them learn to love eggs early in life. So that's really a big piece of what we're doing. We're working, we're committing over $1 million through the American Egg Board, and we're working on introducing new products that we think kids would be excited about. You know, I hear from our administrators locally that when we serve eggs for lunch, you know, when we do breakfast for lunch or bring eggs into the school, kids are more likely to eat those lunches. They're more likely to start their day with a nutritious food. So that's a lot of what we're working to do. And this administration has been 1,000% behind that type of effort. So we're excited about that.
Yeah. And we see the new, you know, Make America Healthy Again movement, but this new dietary guidelines, that inverted pyramid, you know, eggs are at the top as a whole food. It's really cool to see that opportunity for, you know, eggs specifically. It's not always a steak that consumers can afford, but eggs might be one of those more cost-effective proteins.
Very affordable protein. You know, we tell people all the time, there's no better time than right now to go out and buy more eggs. And, you know, honestly, I was so happy to hear when Secretary Kennedy, he displayed the food pyramid on a poster board and made sure to walk over there and point out right away that eggs are right at the top of that. And he himself is an egg lover. I think he told me he eats 5 to 6 eggs every day. So love to hear that.
Wonderful. Well, Andy, what's your message to a lot of our viewers who are not here at the White House, but what's maybe one of the coolest things that you've seen or experienced since you've been here during this event?
You know, I think for me, it's just you take a look around this lawn and you think that 50,000 people, mostly kids and families, are going to experience all of these egg-related activities that we have on the lawn. And just to get to be on the South Lawn for a day, this is my 7th or 8th egg roll. The first egg roll I came to, I remember talking to a family that told me they had applied to the lottery for 15 years and finally got a chance to be here. Just looking at those kids' faces and seeing the excitement, this is a very positive day. You know, it doesn't get much better than this.
At the event, President Donald Trump used his remarks to tout declining egg prices over the last year. Egg prices have come down a lot, partially due to fewer birds being infected with highly pathogenic avian influenza. Let's look at the numbers, though. USDA says there were about 20.8 million birds affected by the virus in the first 3 months of this year, which is a 45% decrease from the same period last year. Egg prices are reflecting this decrease in cases. According to the Consumer Price Index, the average price of a dozen large grade A eggs in cities across the country was $2.50 in February. The average price last February was $5.90. Meanwhile, wholesale price data from the Economic Research Service shows the combined regional average price of a large grade A dozen of eggs was $1.12 in February, compared to $8.22 last February. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service estimated U.S. egg production is exceeding 8 billion this February, which is up 5% from last February. We'll be back with more Newsmakers right after the break.
I've worked at Coca-Cola for 21 years.
We're delivering Dr. Pepper for my branded facility in Dallas, Texas.
We're really proud to still make Pepsi products in America.
You don't need a college degree to work here, but I put 4 kids through college by working here.
This is a great place to work with great people and great American brands.
Grocery stores, convenience stores, restaurants, they all depend on us.
We deliver great paying jobs.
We deliver beverages people love.
We deliver for our community.
For 35 years, soybean farmers have invested together to build demand for U.S. soy at home and around the world. Through the Soy Checkoff, farmers turn every dollar into stronger markets for U.S. soybeans, driving innovation and partnerships across feed, food, fuel, sustainable production, and beyond, led by farmers and built to last. U.S. Soy, 35 years of delivering value back to the farm and investing in the future of agriculture.
Welcome back. President Donald Trump recently unveiled the Grocery Guarantee Program at the Celebration of American Agriculture at the White House. The program includes a 90% loan guarantee to expand access to capital for farmers, increase domestic food production, and help lower grocery prices. Small Business Administrator Kelly Loeffler joins the show to share more details on the program.
Well, first of all, Lydia, it's great to be on. And You know, we know that farmers are the original small businesses in America. I have the blessing of growing up as the fourth generation on our family farm and understand innately that 100% of us eat, but only 2% of us are in the agriculture world. So to support production, to support agriculture, farming, and low grocery prices, a more abundant supply of food, the SBA is now offering a 90% loan guarantee on our core loan program, which is our 7A loan program, which typically, you know, is offered through community banks. Farmers, ranchers, producers, trucking companies, warehousers, logistics, and producers can obtain this loan from their local community lender and gain an SBA guarantee of up to 90%. And that makes a lender more likely to loan when it has a larger federally backed guarantee on it. And so we're bringing down the price of groceries by expanding the supply and access to capital.
Yeah, and you mentioned that 90% loan guarantee, but you know, we're seeing, you know, a really struggling farm economy right now. But what's the impact of that 90% loan guarantee for rural America, specifically those farmers?
Yeah, access to capital is everything, particularly in rural America. We know how important our local lenders are, so supporting those local lenders and getting that capital flooded out to rural America. Last year, the SBA put $7 billion in loans out to rural America. We set a record last year of lending overall $45 billion in our core loan programs. And it's critically important right now because our farmers have been crushed by 4 years of really what was Bidenomics, rampant inflation that drove the cost of inputs way up, put the massive regulatory burden on farmers at the same time. And so this administration is proud to partner with the ag community to make capital more available, to bring tax cuts, deregulation. It's just part of the broader economic agenda that is really fighting for rural America.
Yeah. And during that same celebration of American agriculture at the White House, President Trump said he would offer relief to farmers on a diesel exhaust fluid requirement as well. You mentioned this administration has been very focused on deregulation. But, you know, what's the impact of lessening this and, you know, similar deregulation that this administration has been doing for farmers?
Yeah, look, this has been really exciting to partner with Secretary Rollins and Administrator Zeldin on rolling back the DEF requirements, and now a second time. And so when I talk to farmers, whether it's in my own family or across the country, the construction community, anyone that operates heavy equipment, trucks, tractors, understands diesel exhaust fluid has been a burdensome cost, that the cost benefit was not well done when it was implemented. It put billions of dollars of costs on rural America, on our construction community. So being able to roll that back, and there's more to come on that. And so we have to continue to get the word out that there is relief on DEF, and we will continue to make progress on that so that farmers, ranchers, builders are not adversely impacted. You know, the endangerment finding was certainly huge for rolling back the Green New Deal. And then right to repair. I mean, that's critically important, particularly now. You've got planting going on, you got farmers getting in the fields trying to get that crop in. Something goes down and they should be able to repair it. And that's what the president did with right to repair as well.
We'll be back with more newsmakers right after the break.
I've worked at Coca-Cola for 21 years.
We're delivering Dr. Pepper for my brand new facility in Dallas, Texas.
We're really proud to still make Pepsi products in America.
You don't need a college degree to work here, but I put 4 kids through college by working here.
This is a great place to work with great people and great American brands.
Grocery stores, convenience stores, restaurants, they all depend on us.
We deliver great paying jobs.
We deliver beverages people love.
We deliver for our community.
America never stops. Thanks to the financial support of Farm Credit, neither do the farmers and ranchers who call her home. Since the beginning, we've been helping rural America show the world what hard work can achieve. But the job is far from over. And as rural America grows further, we'll be there.
Register now for the 2026 AgriPulse Food and Ag Issue Summit in California. The event will offer participants a full day of presentations and panel discussions. You can hear from members of the California legislature, food and agriculture leaders, along with industry experts and academics. The summit takes place June 2nd in Sacramento. See the latest information and register today under the events tab at agripulse.com.
Welcome back. In an antitrust class action lawsuit, John Deere agreed to pay $99 million and provide equipment owners with access to repair resources. The Trump administration has been a big advocate of farmers' right to repair. I asked Small Business Administrator Kelly Loeffler if the court decision does enough to allow farmers to repair their own equipment.
Well, what's great is we're going to be out in the field talking to farmers, operators of equipment. I was actually with a construction company around heavy equipment yesterday. We were talking about the realities of what the DEF rollback looks like, what right to repair looks like, and we're going to be studying that. And Administrator Zeldin's really been a great leader in this regard of making sure that the dereg actually is felt in the field. And so I think the proof is going to be in what it looks like for farmers. This spring, we have an excellent use case looking at spring planting and how that's implemented.
Yeah, and you have been to quite a few events with Administrator Zeldin and Secretary Rollins. You guys are kind of a trio on a lot of those things you work together on, but you're recently at USDA for the National Ag Day event where Secretary Rollins unveiled a public awareness campaign for the product of USA labeling. You know, I'm curious, you know, how much could voluntary adoption of the label really support farmers and U.S. small businesses?
Well, it's not only great for farmers, ranchers, producers, it's great for Americans to know that their food, that their products are made in America, truly. And it comes at a critically important time where made in America writ large is important to Americans. They want to know that their products are made with American inputs, with American hands, with American labor. And I see that as I travel across the country in our Made in America manufacturing tour. It's why we've put a 90% loan guarantee, not only on food and food production, but on manufacturing, because we need to increase and spur on those who want to build things here. We are a nation of builders, and we're the world's leader in agriculture. We have to fight to hang on to that because we have others that want to take that over. And if we don't have food security, we do not have national security.
Yeah. And as we wrap up here, business owners and lawmakers have really urged the Small Business Administration to streamline the application process to make loans and programs, you know, more accessible and easy to apply for. You know, how are you working to streamline those applications to specifically support farmers and rural businesses?
Yeah, well, 1 year into this administration now, I'm proud to report that we have streamlined our approval times to 17 days. That allowed us to get record capital out to rural America and record capital out to all of America. In fact, last year was the first year the SBA in its 72-year history ever surpassed the $100 billion in capital to Main Street with all of our programs combined. So, you know, President Trump likes to say, we're the biggest bank in America. We're enabling the banks of America to become those lenders that rural America needs. So I'm really proud to say, not only have we streamlined our programs, the numbers prove it, and we've gotten record capital out supported by the administration's efforts and focus on rural America.
We'll be back with more newsmakers right after the break.
Register now for the 2026 AgriPulse Food and Ag Issue Summit in California. The event will offer participants a full day of presentations and panel discussions. You can hear from members of the California legislature, food and agriculture leaders, along with industry experts and academics. The summit takes place June 2nd in Sacramento. See the latest information and register today under the events tab at agripulse.com.
I was kind of known as the sheep guy around here. The fire went from north to south and it blew that way and it went straight down the house. Lost all of our sheep literally a week before we were to start lambing. And I was really in a bad place. I happened to notice this farm state of mind piece of paper. And I picked up my cell phone and I made a phone call, and that was the best phone call in my life. I'm glad that I'm still here. So don't do something permanent over a temporary situation.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Both the House and Senate return to session next week after the Easter recess. The House Appropriations Committee will begin holding hearings to examine the budgets of the Agriculture Department, Forest Service, Department of Health and Human Services, U.S. Trade Representative, Army Corps of Engineers, and the Bureau of Reclamation, among others. Looking ahead, make your plans to join us in Sacramento for the AgriPulse West Food and Ag Issues Summit, examining how California agriculture can remain an economic powerhouse. From networking to a top-tier speaker lineup, it's an event you don't want to miss. Register for in-person or virtual attendance on our website. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.